sardines. Can they talk too? No gov.
I think our rats think of them a bit like monkeys, said Keith.
I was talking to sardines, said Melissa.
Sorry,
said Keith.
And there's no other rats here at all?
Melissa went on.
No gov. A few old skeletons and some piles of poisons and lots of traps, boss, but no rats, boss.
But the rat catchers nail up a lot of rat tails every day.
Speak as I find, boss, gov. No rats, boss, gov. No other rats anywhere we've been, boss, gov.
Have you ever looked at the rat tails, miss?
Said Morris.
What do you mean? Said Melissa.
They're fake, said Morris.
Some of them, anyway. They're just old leather bootlaces. I saw some in the street.
They weren't real rat tails, said Keith.
I'm a cat. You think I don't know what rat tails look like?
Surely people would notice, said Melissa.
Yeah, said Morris. Do you know what an aglet is?
Aglet? Aglet? What's an aglet got to do with anything? Snapped Melissa.
It's those little metal bits on the end of shoelaces, said Morris.
How come a cat knows a word like that? Said the girl.
Everyone's got to know something, said Morris. Have you ever looked closely at the rat tails?
Of course not. You can get the plague from rats, said Melissa.
That's right. Your legs explode, said Morris, grinning. That's why you didn't see the aglets. Your legs exploded lately, Sardines?
Not today, boss, said Sardines. Mind you, it's not even lunchtime yet.
Melissa Grimm looked, well, grim.
Aha,
she said. And it seemed to Morris that the ha had a very nasty edge to it.
So you're not going to tell the watch about us?
He ventured, hopefully.
What? That I've been talking to a rat and a cat? Said Melissa. Of course not. They'll tell my father I've been telling stories, and I'll get locked out of my room again.
You get locked out of your room as a punishment? Said Morris.
Yes, it means I can't get at my books. I'm a rather special person, as you may have guessed, said Melissa proudly. Haven't you heard of the sisters Grimm? Agonista und Evisera Grimm? They were my grandmother and my great-aunt. They wrote fairy tales.
Ah, so we're temporarily out of trouble here, thought Morris. Best to keep her talking.
I'm not a big reader, as cats go, he said. So what were these, then? Stories about little people with wings going tinkle-tinkle?
No, said Melissa. They were not big on tinkling little people. They wrote real fairy tales, ones with lots of blood and bones and bats and rats in. I've inherited the story-telling talent, she added.
I kind of thought you had, said Morris.
And if there's no rats under the town but the rat catchers are nailing up bootlaces, I smell a rat, said Melissa.
Sorry, said Sardines. I think that was me. I'm a bit nervous.
There were sounds from upstairs.
Quick, go out across the backyard, Melissa commanded. Get up into the hayloft over the stables. I'll bring you some food. I know exactly how this sort of thing goes.
Chapter 5. Ratty Rupert was the bravest rat that ever was. Everyone in Fairy Bottom said so. From Mr. Bunsey Has an Adventure. Dark Tan was in a tunnel several streets away, hanging from four bits of string attached to his harness. They were tied onto a stick which had been balanced like a seesaw on the back of a very fat rat. Two other rats were sitting on the other end, and several other rats were steering it. Dark Tan was hanging just above the teeth of the big steel trap that completely filled the tunnel. He squeaked the signal to stop. The ruler vibrated a little under his weight.
"I'm right over the cheese," he said. "Smells like Lanker Blue Vein, extra tasty. Not been touched, pretty old too. Move me in about two paws.
Rat measurement, about an inch." The stick bounced up and down as he was pushed forward.
"Careful, sir,"
said one of the younger rats who crowded the tunnel behind the trap disposal squad. Dark Tan grunted, and looked down at the teeth an inch away from his nose. He pulled a short piece of wood out of one of his belts. A tiny sliver of mirror had been glued to one end of it. "Yola!"